This is God's world, God's mission. The title of my message is, Do You See What Jesus Sees? I'm going to share something, but if you want to, go ahead and jump ahead. Mark chapter 8, verse 1 through 5. I'm going to read that here in a little bit, but you don't have to put that up on the screen yet. But, you know, when we look at the globe, we look at the world, do you see what God sees? I mean, go look deeper. Look past the body of water. Look past the continents, okay? Look deeper. Look past the countries. Look into each city of the world. Look deeper than that. Look past the color of the skin, the color of different people's skin, and look to see the spiritual need of a lost world. You see, there is a world when God, when we're talking about God's world, God's mission, God sees that there are people who are not his, who are lost and who are not born again. He sees the sin. He knows that. Just like he knows each one of our thoughts, he knows what you're feeling right now. He knows what you're going through. Even if you think that you're the only one going through that pain, that difficulty, that emotion, he knows you better than you know yourself. But he sees that there's a spiritual need in each person. And I want to encourage you to do this for me. So close your eyes. Don't worry, I'm not going to throw anything at you. Close your eyes. Everyone, just close your eyes. Just bear with me for a few moments. Just close your eyes. And I want to ask for those of you who work, you have a job, I'd like for you to picture the people that you work with. Your eyes still closed. Don't make any faces, but your eyes are still closed. And I want you to picture the people that you work with. If you go to school with your eyes still closed, I want you to picture the other students. I want you to try to picture some teachers. If you stay at home or you work from home, I want you to picture your neighbors. You see, do you see what God sees? He sees a lost world, people that need to know his son, people that need to hear his son, people that need to experience his love, like Shannon was talking about this morning, God's love. The reason why fear is cast away is because perfect love says, get out of here. Perfect love, which is God, his love, it does cast out all fear. Because where there's fear, then God's not in. This was something that was interesting. This week, you can open your eyes now. This was something that was interesting that God was showing me, that where your fear is, your thoughts, your emotions, or your feelings of fear, God says, I'm not in that. My love casts out all fear. So if you have a fearful thought, I'm not involved in that thought. If you have a fearful emotion, God says, I'm not a part of that. What are you thinking? Where are you going? I'm not there. And of course, you know, we all know that God is everywhere, but God is trying to point out that he was saying, when you have a fearful thought, emotion, or feeling, I'm not there. Because you're looking at something that I didn't say, I'm going to be there, or that I'm not going to do that. And like John was speaking a couple last Wednesday, when we are involved or active with fear, we're putting faith into something. We're putting stake and claim into something that God is, that's opposite of God, or that God says, I'm not sure why you're going in that room, because I'm not in that room. But with your eyes closed, I hope that you were able to picture the people that you work with, the people that you go to school with, the people that teach you, the people that live in your neighborhood or down the street. And if they're lost, God sees them. God wants them to know his son. Have you ever considered that you're not seeing what there is to be seen? Go to the next slide. Dr. Tony Evans tweeted this, and I think it's 2013, so it's an old post, and I got to work it. Oh, you guys can see it. It's kind of difficult for me to see back there, but you guys can see it over here. Dr. Tony Evans, he says this, if all you see is what you see, you will never see all there is to be seen. Now, I might need to repeat that and say that, because the first time I'm like, what did he say? Rewind. I had to go back. If all you see is what you see, you will never see all there is to be seen. Well, what's he saying? Having spiritual eyes, saying, God, help me to see what you see. Because what you see with your physical eye is not everything that needs to be, that is not everything that can be seen. And if you allow to tap, if you allow yourself to tap into what God sees, into the spiritual, you'll be able to look, go back to slide one, you'll be able to look at the globe, you'll be able to look down your street, you'll be able to walk into where you work, you'll be able, students, to walk into that school, and you'll be able to see what God sees if you tap into what God is seeing. People who are lost, people who are hurting, people who are crying out loud, someone listen to me, someone help me. My first point is do I want to see what God sees? Go to the third slide. Do I want to see what God sees? I thought, I can't find, so I thought I'd go ahead and put mine. Because Shannon says, my eyes get really big when I get excited. My eyes get really, I have no idea where that comes from. Probably from my dad. My dad does that, and my dad did that a lot. And so, but do I want to see what God sees? Let's go to Mark chapter 8, verse 1. Mark chapter 8, verse 1 says, in those days, you can stand for the reading of the word. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I wondered, I thought, did they not come prepared? And I'm thinking, well, maybe for 3 days, all the food they brought, they ate it all. They drank all the water or whatever they had with them. You know, they drank all the sweet tea that they carried with them. But it says for 3 days they walked with him and now they have nothing to eat. Verse 3, and if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Then his disciples answered him, saying, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? He asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. Father, we come to you and we thank you. Help us to see what you want us to see. Father, I pray that we as a church, that we would not be satisfied with what we physically see. But God, we would desire to see into the spiritual, to see what you want us to see. God, we know that you're not going to reveal to us everything because we wouldn't be able to handle it. We wouldn't be able to take it. But God, today, help us to see what you see. Help us to see the hurting. Help us to see the lost. Help us to see what you see, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. So keep in mind, there's a great multitude, nothing to eat, and they've been walking with Jesus for 3 days. Now, I need a volunteer, if I can have one. Yes, come on up here, Cameron. All right. Now, I want you to push that one. You can put your finger through there. I'm going to ask you to just try to find something. You guys don't help him out. Go to the next slide, slide 4. All right, you need to find the die, okay? Dice, you know, the dice that you throw, one of them is called the die, okay? So it's not dice, all right? So I want you to find one, and you push that button when you find it. Just go ahead and find it. And wherever you find it, just go ahead and, here, I'll show you. Like, push the button. See the dot? All right, when you find it, put the dot on there. I like looking at these pictures and trying to find the hidden things. And close. Hey, all right. You can be seated. Thank you. All right. Go to the next one. Can I have another volunteer? An adult. Come on, Melissa. All right. I want you to find the fish. I'm only going to give you a couple, a minute. Find the fish. Oh, that was so easy. Good job. She's good at that. All right, now the next one, it's considered an optical illusion. So whatever you see, just shout it out because there's quite a few. Go ahead and show the next one. If you see some, just shout it out. Two grandparents. Mike says, I see you. A crown, a bottle of water, singers, a statue, all right? Anybody see arches? Yes. All right, you see arches? Now, when you look at, how many of you see the chalice? It's really open in front of you, yeah? Yeah, the cup, the chalice, it's a golden chalice. All right. Now, I like looking at these, you know, images. And of course, I always remember going to the doctor or the dentist, and they had those little magazines, and you go find, you know, they have one image and they have the one right next to it. And they say, try to find the mistakes out of that image. And, you know, you have to search for it. And see, this is the thing that we have to search for what God sees. It's just not, you're just not going to wake up in the morning because you're not looking for it, because you don't want it. God's just going to say, here it is. You got to be searching for it. You got to be hungry for it and desire for it. I don't believe that God is hiding things on purpose just to hurt us or to keep us out of the know, just because he wants to have fun with us, just because he's pulling a prank. I believe God desires and wants to reveal the hidden things, the spiritual things. He wants to reveal them to us, but we got to be searching. We got to be looking. We got to desire to see more than what we just see. So if all you see is what you see, then you're really not seeing everything that there is to be seen. So again, I had to really just read that over and over. What's he saying? What does that mean? I want to be able to see all that more than what I am just seeing with my physical eyes. You see, there are many spiritual opportunities in our daily lives, but if you don't look for them, you're not going to find them. And if you're not going to find them, then God can't use you to get involved in them. I'm going to say that again. If we don't look for the spiritual opportunities that are happening in our daily lives, then we won't find them. And if we don't find them, then we can't be used in them. Do you know that when Jesus, as we were reading in Mark chapter 8, where it says, and I have it highlighted and I encourage you to underline it or whatever, I have compassion on the multitude. The disciples were like, yo, send these people away. This wasn't the first time. It happened before, and we're going to go to Mark chapter 6. If you want to go there, go to Mark chapter 6. But Jesus had already done this, and he had compassion on a multitude that wanted to hear him. And the disciples didn't see. I mean, really, Jesus, I mean, let's just agree. Jesus really didn't need the disciples to just come up and find out how much food they had. He could have just said, hey, tell everybody to sit down, and wherever they sit, they're going to find food right in front of them. It could have happened just like that. But God wants and desires for us to get involved. He wants to use us in these miraculous spiritual things that he has for us every day. So when you go to work tomorrow, there is something spiritual. I don't know what it is, but hopefully you're hungry and desiring to see what it is, whether it's the group of people surrounded the coffee pot in the coffee room, or whether it's the people walking out of the office and into the parking lot, or it's the person that's sitting all by themselves in the cafeteria, wherever you work at, that somebody needs to hear, somebody needs to experience the love of God or receive something from God. And you could be the one that is used for it. But again, if we don't look for it, we're not going to find it. And if we don't find it, we can't be used in it. See, God doesn't play that hide and seek, and he wants to use us, but he doesn't really have to, right? He doesn't need us, but he wants to use us. He wants us to get involved. Why? We're walking with him. He's not walking with us. A lot of people look at Christianity that way, that God is walking with them. No, you need to be walking with God. You need to be walking in step, hand in hand with Jesus, not the other way around. Jesus sees something that the disciples don't see, and because of Jesus, the disciples get the privilege to be involved in this miracle. What miracle? That this great multitude that Jesus had compassion on were going to be fed. And sooner and later, we find that these disciples, they had compassion on the gospel, therefore they had compassion. They had compassion for the gospel, therefore they had compassion for people, and that is why it put them in a situation where they were martyred for their faith. They didn't have compassion for the people. They would have shut their mouths, and they wouldn't have caused any problem with the people of those cities. But they had love for the gospel, and they had compassion for people, because Jesus had compassion for people. Hey, Luke, you want to come up here, Luke? I want you to put these on, all right? Put these on. Turn around. All right. Now Luke sees what I see. This is the image that I want to give us today. Look at everybody. Luke is looking through my eyes, so to speak. We need to put on God's glasses and see what he sees so that we can be involved in what he wants us to be involved in. You see, it might be a catchy slogan, God's world, God's mission. We believe that the Lord gave that to us for February. We didn't, you know, Shannon just, you know, she like she said that this morning, she's not taking credit for it. We're not taking credit for it. It might be a catchy slogan, John 3:16. It's on people's shirts. It's on people's bumper stickers. But we have to desire to see what God sees so that we can get involved in what God wants us to get involved in. You want to keep wearing them or you want to take them off? You keep wearing them? All right, you can go ahead and have a seat. Don't hurt yourself. All right. Your mom will show you the picture later. Okay, so let's go to Mark chapter 6. A few weeks ago, I mentioned on Wednesday nights that it would be great if God would always intervene in our problems. And I feel led to just repeat this again. If God would intervene in all of our problems and solve all of our problems. Can I hear an amen? You would love that. Okay, only a few of you would love that. But in reality, we have to realize that possibly we might be the problem. Or the problem that we're in, God might want to give us an opportunity to restore to it, to solve, to be a part of the solution, and we need to get involved in it. But I'm not sure how many of you have ever done this, but you've had a pity party and you've complained about a problem and you've complained to God about the problem, and all you're doing is complaining, but you're not desiring to see what he sees about this problem or situation. You see, because the disciples saw that it was a problem, what Jesus just said, let's go ahead and feed them. What do you mean you feed them? All we have is seven, you know, all we have is seven is what he said. How many loaves do you have? And they said seven. And they're probably thinking seven loaves ain't going to feed all these people. And it says that there were about 5,000 men. Now we have to realize that when it says 5,000 men, there are quite possibly more because men, women, and kids. If there's going to be women around and the men are going to be there, then there's got to be kids. So there's probably more than likely more than 5,000 people. Even just if there was 5,000, that's a lot of people to feed and seven loaves. Excuse me, Jesus? You're going to feed all these people with seven loaves? My second point is, do I want to get involved with what God sees? Do I want to get involved with what he sees? That's another question. Okay, the first one is this, do I see what God sees? And then the next one, Jesus reveals, no, wait, what I see in the world is people who are lost. The next question is do you want to get involved in what he is seeing? That those who are lost need to be found. What are you seeing today? How can God use you to be a part of the solution? So in Mark chapter 6, verse 30 through 44, verse 30 says, the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And Jesus realized that this was a time for rest. So he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going. There was so many people that wanted to see Jesus, wanted to be with Jesus, that they did whatever they could. They even went ahead because they knew the direction where they were going, and they arrived before them and came together to Jesus and his disciples. Verse 34, Jesus, when he came out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, scripture says. Why do you think he was moved with compassion for them? Because he was, worried about his reputation? Or I still have a large following. Look at them. They're following me everywhere. No, he had compassion on them because it was as if they were sheep without a shepherd, he says. They needed someone. They needed a savior. They needed someone to share with them the gospel, the kingdom of God. And so verse 35, when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place and already the hour is late. They're seeing something. They're seeing, hey, it's late. And then it says, send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But Jesus sees something else, doesn't he? He says, he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. Now they're probably thinking, I don't have much. But he said to them, go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. He commanded them to make them sit down in the groups of the green grass. So they sat down in ranks in 150s. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, listen what Jesus did. He looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, gave them to his disciples to set before. He did not have to give it to his disciples, but he wanted to. He does not have to show you what he sees, but he wants to. He does not have to use you to get involved in the spiritual things of God, but God wants to if you're looking, if you want to see what he sees, if you want to get involved with what he wants to do. Verse 42, so they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments, 12 baskets full of fragments of bread. Why do I say bread? Because then it says, and of fish. Now, those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. How could these disciples have forgotten that? This happened before the previous, because we're in Mark chapter 6. What I read in the beginning was Mark chapter 8. Jesus had already fed, and so now in Mark chapter 8, how did they not realize or see that Jesus could do this? Well, how many loaves do you have? 7. So this is the first time. You see, God could have accomplished this miracle on by himself, but as we look through Scripture, God has an M.O. M.O., it's an acronym. It comes from the Latin, and it's a Latin phrase, modus operandi. It means someone's way of doing a certain thing or performing a certain action. It's like their signature. It's like something unique only to them. How many of you desire to have God's MO? To look upon a people and have compassion on them. To be able to see what he sees. To desire to get involved with what God wants to happen. My last point is that will God's compassion become our compassion? You see, Jesus had compassion, and he could have told everybody to leave, but he had compassion on them, and he wanted to feed them. He had already fed them spiritual food, and now he wants to feed them physical food. He didn't have to, but it says he had compassion. In both instances, he had compassion on them, and then he involved his disciples. God has compassion on the people you work with and the people that you work around. God has compassion on your teachers and on other students. God has compassion on your neighbors. And maybe he's asking you today, you want to get involved in it? Do you have any bread? Do you have anything? I want to feed them. I have compassion for them. I pray that God's will becomes my will. God's will becomes my, I think people have it the wrong way. I have my will, but I want to have God. No, I want my will to just be gone. I want to have God's desire, God's will, for that to be my will, for that to be my MO, for that to be my method of how I do things, of where I go and what I say, what I do, what I see. John chapter 3, verse 17, I mentioned that a couple weeks ago, that in this verse, we find God's world, God's mission. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through Jesus, might be saved. So when God looks at the world, God looks at your workplace, God looks at your school, God looks in your neighborhood, he sees the world, he sees people who are lost. He doesn't want to condemn them, he wants them to be saved. Last slide, this is from Luke chapter 19:10. It says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. For the Son of Man, meaning Jesus, came to seek and to save the lost. In Jesus' own words, that the lost need to be sought after and saved, that he came to give up his life as a ransom for many, so that he can give life more abundantly. I pray that we desire God's mission to be our mission. God's mission is to win the lost. Then let our mission be win the lost. This should be our prayer. This should be our action. until Jesus comes or until we breathe our last breath. God, I want to see what you see because I want to get involved because I want to have your compassion to be my compassion. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you. We thank you for your mission that you clearly reveal that to us in Scripture. I pray, God, that we desire to see what you see. I pray, God, that we would desire to be involved in what you want us to be involved in. And God, I pray that we would desire your compassion to lead us where you want us to go, to lead us in what you want us to say. We thank you, Father. Speak to us today, Lord. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that those faces that came to our mind, that came to our minds when we closed our eyes earlier, I pray for divine appointments for those people that we work, that these people work with. I pray for those students that saw pictures of other students and teachers. Lord, I pray for those neighbors that popped up in our minds when we closed our eyes. I pray for divine appointments, God. Appointments that you orchestrate and create and that you give us the words to speak and that you lead us for the actions to take so that the lost would not be condemned, but that the lost would be saved through Jesus. We thank you, God. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you.